you.
Thank you. Are you all set?
Okay.
This mic is recording too.
Okay, I put this on then?
Yeah.
Okay, sure. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now at the hour of our death. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and kindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. Let us pray. Can you hear me? Let's see if I can maybe.
Hey. This is a recording mic, and this is the one you're
going to use. Testing, can you hear me now? Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now at the hour of our death. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and kindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant that by the same Spirit may be truly wise, never rejoice in his consolation to the same Christ our Lord.
Amen.
O Lady Guadalupe, pray for us. Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Ignatius Loyola,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Santiago Compostela,
pray for us.
All God's angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning, Father.
It's always a fear when you're preaching or teaching the first time that the microphone doesn't work. There was a new pastor that came in, and he was saying Mass, and he was fumbling with the microphone and said, "There's something wrong with this mic," and the people said, "And also with you." Heard a story of a group of nuns that were very prayerful, and the oldest nun, who was 95, was dying. She was in the infirmary, and the younger nuns were surrounding her. And she couldn't eat that much, so the sister went into the kitchen and brought her a cup of warm milk, and she rejected that. So the sister went back and got a cup filled with whiskey with a little bit of milk. And the younger nuns were watching her, and she smelled the whiskey, and she started to drink and drink and drink and drink and drink to the last drop. And all the younger nuns were watching her down that whiskey. They said, "Before you die, sister, give us some good advice." She said, "Under no condition should you sell that cow." Then there's another convent of nuns where the food was disappearing, and Mother Superior said, "Okay, I'll hide in the kitchen to make sure that no one takes any food on the sly." So she hid behind the refrigerator. At 10 o'clock, no one came in. 11 o'clock, no one came in. 12 o'clock, no one came in. 2 o'clock in the morning, the oldest, holiest nun, Sister Matilda, sauntered in, and she opened up the refrigerator. And Mother Superior was watching this, so she started to gorge herself with all the food that was in the refrigerator, and then she started to stuff it in her pocket. Mother Superior was scandalized. Behind the refrigerator, she said, "Be careful, be careful, be careful, I am the devil." She said, "Thanks be to God, I thought you might be Mother Superior." You're not going to fall asleep during my talk, okay? Okay, in the 45 minutes I have, now it's down to 42, I'd like to talk about confession. And what I'd like to do is I'd like to prepare all of you to make the best confession in your life. And even if you had made confessions, you can always improve in making your confession. The two most important actions that we can carry out in our lives as Catholics would be to make good confessions and to make good communions. Amen?
Amen.
Those are the two most important things we can do. You know why? Because those are direct encounters with Christ. Those are direct encounters with Christ. Those are, they're sacraments. So there's no more efficacious means for us to sanctify ourselves and to get to heaven than to strive to make better confessions and better communions. So let me give you a lot of pointers and the taking some ideas from St. Faustina and the way she confessed to really encourage us to receive this sacrament well. Some of you have been to the retreat house in El Hambra with the Carmelite sisters. I've given 8-day retreats there the past 10 years and always in July. And there in the sacristy there's a plaque for the... Okay. There's a plaque in the Carmelite monastery in El Hambra. And it says, "Priest, man of God, celebrate the Mass. If it were your first Mass, celebrate the Mass as if it were your last Mass. Celebrate the Mass as if it were your only Mass." When you go to confession, you should go as if it were your first, your last, and your only. Amen?
Amen.
In other words, don't take it for granted. Do it as if it were your first, your last, and your only. Okay, in the sacraments, there is a basic theological principle, and it is called the principle of dispositive grace. And you say, what the heck does that mean? Yeah. The principle of dispositive grace means that you receive the abundance of grace in direct proportion to your preparation. Got that? So the better the preparation, the more abundant the grace is. Some of you have done the spiritual exercise with me in St. Peter Chanel. Probably maybe half of you. You remember when I was telling you about the confession of St. Ignatius there in Montserrat? He spent a long time preparing his confession. His confession lasted in between 4 and 5 days. But he was converted. He lived a very worldly life. He made his confession and he was on fire. Then in the cave of Manresa, the Blessed Mother appeared to him and gave him the spiritual exercises. So when God is calling someone to do great things, He's calling that person to undergo a profound conversion. And conversion comes through contact with Christ. Christ comes through the church. Christ comes through the sacraments. Okay, so let's prepare ourselves. Let's prepare ourselves for the best confession in our lives. Off the bat, recognize that the worst sin, according to the Diary of St. Faustina, the worst sin we can commit is to not trust in God's mercy. You hear me? The worst sin is not to trust in God's mercy. Holy Week is upon us. There's a big difference between Peter and Judas Iscariot. They both failed. Big time. Peter denied our Lord 3 times. That was serious. Judas betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Pretty serious. But the reaction was diametrically opposed. Peter wept bitterly, and Jesus asked him, "Do you love me?" Peter said, "Yes, Lord. Feed my sheep. Do you love me? Feed my lambs. Do you love me? Feed my sheep." And he became the first vicar of Christ, died crucified upside down. Whereas Judas was the exact opposite. Judas, instead of trusting God, he gave in to despair. He gave in to despair. Judas could have been forgiven if he just said, "Jesus, forgive me, have mercy on me." And he would have been forgiven. God is slow to anger and rich in mercy. We are probably quick to anger and slow to mercy, right? We still have an Old Testament heart, huh? But God forgives in a heartbeat. And as Jesus said to St. Faustina, the worst sinners can be the greatest saints. Amen?
Amen.
Now, I really believe this. I believe all of you who are here are called to become great saints. Do you believe it?
Yes.
You're not here by chance. There's no such thing as good luck or chance. Everything happens by divine providence. You're called to become the greatest missionaries of God's mercy in the world. Amen?
Amen?
Starting right now. This conference is not something fortuitous or something that's happening by chance. God from all eternity called all of you together to hear some of the greatest speakers in Southern California, so that you can become the great apostles of divine mercy. Amen?
Amen?
Never in the history of the world do we need mercy more than today.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
Never in the history of the world. So, as a result of this mini-retreat, you have to already make the decision, I will be an apostle of divine mercy. However, you cannot be an apostle of God's mercy until you have experienced God's mercy. You can't give what you don't have. So, the sacrament of confession is a sacrament where we receive God's mercy most abundantly. It's in this sacrament that you receive His mercy most abundantly. Who was the first canonized saint? Fulton Sheen tells us this. First canonized saint was there as Jesus hung on the cross, and that man, that was hanging on the cross said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom.
Yes.
Right. And Jesus said, amen, amen, I say to you, today you'll be with me in paradise. And as Fulton Sheen says, he died a thief because he stole heaven, huh?
Amen.
I like that. He died a thief because he stole heaven. He was living a bad life. Murderer. Thief. Insurrectionist. Means he started wars. He lived a really bad life, and at the end of his life, he trusted totally in the love and mercy of Christ, and he died and he went right to heaven. No purgatory. Because the mercy of God goes way beyond our misery. And that's what the word mercy means. If you know Spanish, misericordia. Misericordia. It's Latin. Miseria means our misery. Cordia means heart. Our miserable condition of sinner is being met by the loving heart of Christ, the prodigal son. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so let's prepare ourselves. The better the preparation, the more abundant the graces. I'd like to go through the classical traditional steps of making a good confession. So give yourself a time, a place, and goodwill to prepare yourself. It's a good idea when you're preparing yourself to prepare yourself in front of an image of divine mercy. Front of an image of Jesus on the cross. Front of an image of Mary, Mother of Mercy. Then when you're starting, always start with a Hail Mary. Always invoke Mary, the Queen of Mercy, to help you to get closer to Christ. Saint Mary is our life, our sweetness, and our hope. Then ask the Holy Spirit. We have to rely more on the Holy Spirit. Saint Paul says in Romans chapter 8, we don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Holy Spirit intercedes with ineffable groans so that we can say, Abba. Abba, which means papi, daddy. Rely on the Holy Spirit. Then some people might not agree with this, but I really believe it's a good idea to have a pen and paper and to just jot down your sins. Those who have done the exercise with me, you've done your general confession, we insist that you write it out. Because we all have seen your moments, right? Know what that is? No?
I forgot.
You forgot, huh? You're probably the lady that husband bought you for your 60th birthday, those memory pills, you've always forgot to take them, huh?
Right.
Very helpful to just to write it down. Jot it down. And then to go to go through the Ten Commandments. So it's always good to have a good guide. In the spiritual exercise, we gave you a little book by Father Altier, which is a really good guide. And you go through the Ten Commandments, trusting in God's mercy. Now, the Catechism of the Catholic Church, as well as the Council of Trent and the Church documents, has a term that a lot of people don't like to hear today. But this is present in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, as well as Canon Law, as well as Council of Trent, and it's called the reality of a mortal sin. Being a theologian, it's important to recognize what that is. But even above and beyond the mortal sin reality is recognize that when we sin, as Fulton Sheen says, we are hurting the one that loves us most. So sin is especially we're hurting the one that loves us most. The one that loves us most is Jesus Christ. You see that in a personal level, we're hurting Christ who loves us so much, we don't want to hurt him. He loves us so much, such that he died on the cross for us. And that's going to be pushing us away from sin. Because every time you're tempted to sin, and you say no to the temptation, you're saying yes to the love of God. Amen?
Amen.
You see it that way. We're all tempted. We all have temptations. Every time you're tempted to offend God, you say no, you're saying yes to the love of God. But a mortal sin would be this. Grave matter, full knowledge, full consent of the will. That are the constitutive elements of a mortal sin. Maybe you don't like to hear that, but you have to hear it. How are we going to form our conscience? How many moms and grandparents here, if we do not have a firm grasp on moral theology on the Ten Commandments, how on earth are we going to form our children? So we can't give what we don't have, right? Okay, so that's the first step is you have to go through the Ten Commandments. If you want a really extensive explanation, the Catechism of the Catholic Church is probably about the best you have out there, but it's long. And the second point I'll make you a confession is contrition. Contrition or sorrow. We have to be sorry for our sins. Now making a confession is a supernatural act. That's why I always say in the exercises, quoting Ignatius, beg for the grace. Beg for the grace. And as St. Augustine says, we're all beggars before God. Beg for the grace. Beg for the grace. So for you to make a good confession, you have to have God's supernatural intervention. We call it the theology of grace. Now sorrow, there's two different manifestations of sorrow. There is what is called attrition and contrition. Now probably most of you have never heard that before, but this is classical, traditional, good theology. There's attrition and contrition. What is attrition? Attrition is imperfect sorrow. However, don't disparage this or just discard this. I'm sorry because I could lose God for all eternity. You know what that's called? That's called fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, the Bible teaches us. And I'm pretty certain that all of you are confirmed, right? There are seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. One of the gifts is fear of the Lord. The greatest gift is wisdom. St. Thomas Aquinas says the first one in operation is fear of the Lord. You know how good God is, He takes us where we're at. If you have a teenager, I'm not going to do that because I don't want to lose God. Well, that's good enough to get him into purgatory, okay? Or maybe us. Maybe our heart is not overflowing with love for God right now. I don't know you. But at least if we get into purgatory, we're saved, right? But we want to go beyond that. We want to arrive at perfect contrition. What is perfect contrition? I don't want to sin because I know that God loves me. God loves me. And He's challenging us to love Him back. Love is a two-way street. And the greatest of all the commandments we read in Luke chapter 10, right before the parable of the Good Samaritan, Jesus says that the greatest commandment is to love God with what? With all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. That is the greatest of all the commandments. We want to aim at that. Imperfect contrition, okay, it's good enough, but we want to go beyond that. We want to go beyond that. That's the second part of making a good confession, is we have to tell God we're sorry. Third step is firm purpose of amendment. Firm purpose of amendment. Now what does that mean? It means that we have to try to avoid the near occasion of sin. He who plays with fire is going to get burnt. He who walks on the slippery slope is going to fall. He who walks on thin ice is going to cave in. And the Bible teaches us, he who plays in danger will perish in danger. Having been a priest, in May it'll be already 33 years, probably heard at least a half a million confessions. I have a little bit of experience, no? Hearing usually 2 to 3 hours of confession every day, so I have a little bit of experience, I would make this comment. Probably this third step is where we're weakest. Because the third step, and this is very Ignatius, it forces you to rewind the film of your life. And sometimes we don't want to do that. You have to rewind the film of your life, and you have to see not only your fall, but what preceded your fall. This is Ignatius, the daily examine, right? So you see your fall. But what preceded your fall? If you can come to awareness of that, next time you find yourself in that situation, you're going to go in the other direction. Ignatius calls it the agere de contra. Okay? You're going to go in the other direction. Okay, this is Ignatius, and you see this in the Diary of St. Faustina constantly. Our sin that we commit is usually preceded by a state of desolation. You hear me? I repeat. Our sin is usually preceded by a state of desolation. Those who've done the exercise with me, you know what that is by now. It's the rule 4 in the 14 rules for discernment, is rule 4. Desolation is when you feel there's a lack of faith, a lack of hope, a lack of love. You feel kind of sad. You feel depressed. You feel discouraged. You feel disoriented. No one seems to care about me. No one really loves me. You're ready to throw the pity party and all that, okay? Hey, we all go through that. That's when the devil attacks us. That's when the devil attacks us. And what does the devil do? Rule 13 of the exercises. I call it the kryptonite rule. Remember Superman? He was strong, but he had the kryptonite. We all have our own kryptonite. So the devil is going to go after us. He's going to see, what is our kryptonite? What is our weak point? When we're in the state of desolation, we feel as spiritual energy is low. And let me tell you one that's the most common. And all of you know it, but sometimes we're afraid to preach it. I'm not, because it's so obvious. In the state of desolation, especially among men, the temptation in desolation is to have recourse to pornography. Yes. Have recourse to pornography, and that is a lie. It's a false god. It's the modern idol. It's the biggest addiction in this country, is that. So you find yourself in the state of desolation. We're going to be talking about purity and the Blessed Mother in my second talk. As you find yourself in desolation, you're tempted. You got to do the exact opposite. What does St. Ignatius tell us? You got to pray more. You got to meditate. You got to do your holy hour. You got to do penance. Apply yourself to some type of fasting. You got to practice the ascetic life, practice mortification. And then Ignatius says, examine your conscience. So I really want to help all of us to confess better. Try to do this exercise sometime today. Rewind the film of your life and see your fall. See your fall, but see what preceded it. You're going to see that there's a state of desolation, and then the devil attacks you where you're weakest. Right? Doesn't this resonate as the truth?
Yes.
So we have to come to terms with, we're all weak. So the devil sees we're weak, he's going to try to find that opening, that kryptonite. So that's called firm purpose of amendment. We try to avoid the near occasion of sin. Okay. Fourth step. We've arrived at the fourth step, two more. This is confession of our sins to the priest. And the priest represents Christ. In the Diary of St. Faustina, I was reading this last night, she mentioned there should be three qualities of a good confession. And they are sincerity, and if you like another word, a synonym to that, sincerity, transparency. And the second is humility. And the third is obedience. Those are the three qualities according to Saint Faustina Kowalska in the diary. Sincerity or transparency. Humility and obedience. Let's speak about those three qualities for a minute or two. Sincerity, transparency, you have to try to be as clear as possible. You know, murkiness, a murky, blurred confusion is a sign of the devil, okay? Whereas transparency is a sign of the Holy Spirit. Humility. You don't want to go to confession and confess the sins of your husband. Okay? Father, you know, my husband makes me angry, but if you really knew him, Father, that's pride. And the more we try to gloss over the reality of our sin, trying to justify, rationalize, intellectualize, minimize, you want some more words? Then we diminish the efficacy of the sacrament. You got to be humble. Okay, you know, your husband has his own problems, but you know, it's you and God and the priest is the minister. And then obedience. You have to recognize that what the priest says, God is speaking through the priest. Okay, lady, I would like you to, say a deck of the rosary, 10 Hail Marys, the Our Father, glory be. Father, how about 5? Okay. Thank you very much. As a result of that, you will say 5 rosaries. Okay. Don't egg me on, okay? Let me tell you a private practice that I have. When I was studying Rome to be a priest, I'm a religious priest, Oblate of the Virgin Mary, my formator, Father Giovanni Manini, he said, whatever the priest gives you as a penance, double it. I've always tried to do that. So the priest gives me a decade. If he gives me a decade, I'll pray a whole rosary, 5 times as much. And you know, ever since I've done that, I really feel there's a lot of grace that comes because I'm being humble, obedient, and magnanimous, which means generous. So obedience. Okay, last night when I was reading St. Faustina on the way she confessed, she said that there are 2 fruits that she received from confession. And that would be healing and education. Those 2 things. Healing and education. Face it, we all have a lot to learn, right? When I give talks, and I give a lot, I'll ask a lot of people, do you have to go to Mass on Good Friday? Most of the people will say, "Sí, Padre." See, Padre, see. Okay, by the way, okay, there's no Mass on Good Friday, okay? Even you were thinking about that too, no? I threw a curveball at you, right? Yeah. It's just an example on how much we really have to learn. No? That's why we're here, right? You really have a hunger for God, a hunger for learning, right? And the truth will set you free. Okay. I'll conclude then with the last step. The last step to make a good confession is you have to carry out the penance. Okay, that's the 5th step. Carry out the penance. Backtracking a little bit is this. Now please listen to this and take this seriously. If you are confessing, and you're confessing venial sin, that's free matter. You don't have to specify the number of times. But in mortal sin, this is canon law now, as well as the Catechism, Catholic Church are giving you the most authentic sources. When you're confessing a mortal sin, you have to confess the number and the species. Okay? You have to do that. The number and the species. Species would mean, for example, if you committed sin against the sixth or ninth commandment, which is against chastity, you can't just say, well, I committed sin against the sixth commandment. You have to say, okay, was it fornication? Was it adultery? Was it double adultery? Was it incest? Was it a homosexual act? Was it masturbation? Was it masturbation with pornography? Okay, you have to specify because you know fornication, premarital sex, right? Okay, that's serious, but committing adultery is more serious, right? Because it's a sacrilege. And you're ruining your marriage, right? So, I repeat, when you're making a confession, you have to specify the number, the type of sins, when it is a mortal sin. Otherwise, it's an incomplete confession. And myself spending many, many, many hours in confession, as a whole, people don't know this. So I've got, you know, almost 33 years experience and many, 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 many hours of confessional. I just want you to make the best confession in your life. Amen?
Amen.
And maybe you've never known that before because of a lack of catechesis. Now you know. Okay, then these are the words that you want to hear. And I absolve you of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son, the Holy Spirit. I did not give you general absolution. So let's pray the Blessed Mother that all of us will trust in God's mercy, have recourse to His mercy, get in the habit of making good and frequent confessions, and to bring as many people as possible to this infinite fountain of grace. Amen.
Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Glory be to the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God bless all of you.
Thank you, Father.
We are so blessed. Amen?
Amen.
Let's give them another round of applause. Hallelujah. Okay.